You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
So they come back in and overtime and a field goal by Georgia. Alabama gets it back. The first play is a 16-yard loss. And then a beautiful pass, a 41-yard throw and run down the left sideline for the touchdown. And Alabama wins it after being down 13-0 at the half. A quarterback change, pretty gutsy at that moment at the halftime. But Nick Saban doesn't make these decisions without giving them some thought. And so he brings in this young man from Hawaii who is a true freshman, Tua Tagovailoa. I've heard it's pronounced 1,000 different ways. But this kid is strong and determined and will likely be the starting quarterback for the Tide next year. Jalen Hurts is tough and all that, but the kid can't pass a football. He's not very accurate, and he's uncomfortable. The ball is wobbly, and that's just not his strong suit. But this other boy came in there and threw 3 touchdown passes last night. It's hard to argue with that. So college football in the books for 2017-2018, Alabama, Nick Saban gets his 6th national championship to tie the great Bear Bryant for that honor. And next when he wins, he'll be the winningest coach, in Bama history and maybe of all time. I haven't checked back, but that's just pretty darn impressive. So congrats to the Tide. That's over with. Now all we have left is the National Football League, which is suffering from a ratings slump. This past weekend, the numbers were down at least 10% in every game, 20% in the late game, the Saints and the Panthers, which you would have thought might have been the biggest game of all. But no, people have lost interest for a number of reasons. We'll see if they pick back up this coming weekend. In the NFL, John Gruden, who has turned down job after job in the college ranks and the NFL ranks after being the coach of the Oakland Raiders and then Tampa Bay, where he won a Super Bowl. He's been an ESPN analyst now for, over 10 years. And he has chosen to return to the National Football League. This guy is extremely smart. He understands the game. He's been on ESPN shows with these young quarterbacks and these kids up close and personal. And he's been doing the Monday Night Football game with Sean McDonough for a number of years. He knows the game, but the game has changed a bit, and he is older. And does he really want to get out there and do all this mess? Well, we're going to find out. He is back. He has finally agreed to come back and coach with the Oakland Raiders. Al Davis has passed along. His son Mark is now the team's owner, and he runs the process. And they will today introduce John Gruden as the new head coach of the Raiders of Oakland, who will be the Raiders of Las Vegas in 2 years. I wonder how that played into his decision. I don't know. His deal, all that's mentioned here is 10 years for $100 million. Now, I think I heard he was making about that at ESPN. Check that and see if that is true or not, Sid. But he was, making some really good, money there and not having to travel constantly except for the game on Monday night. So now his life is going to be upended. If he has kids, they're probably grown. So it's he and his wife, and they can move back to California and see what he can do with this. 10 years, $100 million, and some kind of stake in the ownership too. So we'll see if he likes this or not. If he lasts 10 years, I think it'll be a miracle of some kind. But they have obviously promised him the moon. So I'm going to wipe my nose. Thank you. So he is, he's back. And I am a bit shocked, as are many people, that he gave up this, what appears to be a pretty nice gig for the riggers of the National Football League as a head coach. It's a tough job. So we'll see how long he can hang out with that. The Bears of Chicago, some of these coaching vacancies are being filled. And the Bears keep making some strange moves. They've hired the guy that runs the offense for the Chiefs, Matt Nagy, as their new head coach after searching for only a week. The Bears don't seem to take this very seriously, or that's just my opinion, but Matt Nagy, is he a genius of some kind on the offense? We're about to find out, but that city's about tired of having the Bears lose year after year after year. Oh, let's see. Belichick, Big Bill, says he will be back as coach of the Patriots. There are no problems. He and Mr. Kraft, the owner of the team, and Tom Brady have no issues. Everything is lovely. They hang out and hold hands and talk. But once Tom Brady retires, which is inevitable, then what does Bill do? Retire when Tom does? Because when Tom quits, that's going to be maybe the end of it for that franchise, who somehow every year puts the pieces on the field and they figure out ways to win, as they did this year. So they have the Titans coming up this weekend, and they are a 2-touchdown favorite in that ball game, which is, well, we'll see. The NBA played last night. The Cavaliers are back on the down low. They've lost 5 of 7, I guess. The Pacers won last night. Toronto won. Houston beat the Bulls. Minnesota beat Cleveland by 28 points. That's kind of strange. The Pelicans win. The Grizzlies have them tomorrow night downtown. The Spurs win. Golden State and the Clippers all win last night. Columbus beat Toronto in the National Hockey League. In college basketball, which I guess some people are into, I have no interest whatsoever. I don't know who the teams are. These players, all the one-and-done stuff has kind of made that less fun. I don't know. And these top teams seem to lose every week, and they change out of the top five back and forth. Last night was Villanova. They were named number one after upset losses by Michigan State and Duke last week. So Nova at number one, and Michigan State fourth, Purdue, Wichita State tied for fifth, number two, West Virginia. And so this is, they're just playing the back and forth game there as they head into conference play, which will define how things go in late February and March for these teams. But nobody seems to be dominant in college football, or basketball, I mean. So we'll see. A lot of time left. Tigers have Tulane tonight. The email address at this deal is mail@drakeinthemorning.com.
Yeah, and we've had a few roll in. Amber wrote in on kids and smartphones saying, it seemed like 2017 was the year of hearing about kids committing suicide because of cyberbullying. It's always tragic, but in all of the news stories and outrage, I never once heard a parent or commentator talk about taking the device away. We heard about how it was the school's fault for not monitoring what kids do after they leave for the day. We heard about how social media was to blame, even though the children probably lied about their age to make the account against the terms of service. And we heard about how it was everyone's fault except the parents, who had it within their power to remove the source of the bullying by simply taking away the phone. But that never happened, says Amber.
Well, this is the parents' job, not teachers' job, to control the time the kids have on these phones. But they're, I guess, entitled, spoiled little brats. I don't know. I bet there are many parents out there that do control how this works, but this story indicates otherwise, which is just
Well, we
out of hand.
We did hear from one of those. Therese wrote in saying, on the same topic, saying, the rule in our house is the phone is up at 9 p.m. and downstairs, there's no reason for you to call anyone or anyone to call you after 9.
Good.
Grades must be kept up. Chores done. Cell phone use is a privilege, not a right. I also get to check the phone anytime I want to.
Uh-huh.
I do know parents who allow their children to take their phone to school, to bed, and let them go anywhere on the internet. Children our future dumbasses.
So, yeah, well, we've already lost a number of generations, and now we're just going to create more and more and more. So, what are you going to do? At some point, you just kind of shrug your shoulders and say, okay, just leave me out of it. Bye.
And this one from Mark says, last Friday, I was in the local ER for 4 hours seeking treatment for the flu. And one of the many observations was the television that was turned onto a 24-hour news network had zero programming other than a constant barrage of their people exploring every possible way to impeach and destroy the president.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the words destroy and impeach were used frequently. But there was zero news of anything else worldwide.
Yeah.
No matter what your public opinion, how can you call this journalism in any way, says Mark.
You can't.
No.
And they all do it, and it's unwatchable, and I don't know. This whole thing, the daily, you know, beat-up Trump game, which is deserved in, you know, most cases, or in many cases, is just becoming tiresome. There is fatigue over the outrage, and we all get sick of it, but there's something new every day that is just worthy of commentary and observation. It's just the way it is. This thing with this book, The Fire and Fury, is not going to go away. It is out there. It is dangling out there. The book is being read by more people every day, and they can deny all they want to, but the majority of this stuff is on tape. There were notes taken. This was not proclaimed off the record, and Michael Wolff, the author of this book, is not going to stand down. Nor is anybody else. And what they do with it and where these quotes go and are used remains to be seen. I don't know if they implicate anybody in any, you know, future involvement in the issues of the Russia, this whole thing with Russia or not. But stories like this, and I don't know if they're necessary or not. Everybody was just wetting their britches over Oprah's speech at the Golden Globes. And I had fallen asleep by then out of, I guess, absolute boredom with the whole thing. But Oprah is a really good public speaker. She is idolized by many women, black and white. This isn't really about color, I don't think. It's just that she is a strong, strong presence in society. And she always has been. She was on the TV for, you know, 20-plus years. She's an actress. She's an author. She's done many, many things and, you know, great work with, you know, charities and so on and so on and so on. And she's a smart, intelligent, grown-up lady. And she had some pretty strong words. I don't think that they were, I mean, this wasn't a new observation about it's time to come together and get a grip on this whole thing. But the Golden Globes and the and all the speeches and all the words and all the, you know, wearing the black and all that stuff, it's fine. And there are still, and I saw some op-ed pieces yesterday that, that kind of implied some annoyance from the average person as they watch the Hollywood elite, you know, whine about how rough they've got it and, you know, so on and so forth. But the Hollywood elite is where this whole thing began. And whether or not they have, well, they have the right, but is it, is that the right forum to turn this into what it was, which was fine. You know, time's up. We got it. And women should speak out. And this won't stop. This story, though, however, here just make, I don't know what to make of it, but it's just what the media does. If Ivanka Trump, now, you know, I have no opinion about her either way. Why she has an office in the White House and White House security clearance remains a mystery. But The discussion about her running for the presidency someday seems to be a bit premature and a bit ridiculous. But she tweeted out, because that's what people do, the Trumps and everybody else, just saw Oprah's empowering and inspiring speech at last night's Golden Globes, says Miss Ivanka. Let's all come together, women and men, and say, hash brown, time's up. Well,
brown.
That is a nice unifying comment from a man whose father has been accused by 21 different women of sexual battery and or assault. He's also the genius president. So the ironies there are thick. And Trump tweeted all this stuff, got 10,000 likes and 16,000 negative replies. Quote, complete with middle finger emojis, plenty of LOL and fighting words. Some conservative blogger, whoever the hell this broad is, so this is the most hypocritical, clueless statement in her regrettable time in the White House. Calling Ivanka part of the problem. What did I miss there? Why is she part of the problem supporting the rights of women to stand up and speak out against what's been going on for decades? Why is she part of the problem?
Doesn't fit the narrative, man. Makes her a snowflake. Can't have that.
Yeah, she's a wuss, and her old man is a sexual abuser who happens to be the president, so he's untouchable. So there are too many different narratives in play here, but she chose to support Oprah. Oh, Lord, how dare she? This all starts to become less interesting all the time. And you just sit back and wait for it to either implode or something. But can we really take this for, this is what, year two? Can we take three more years of this? I heard Glenn Beck, of all people, who is a truly unique and interesting guy, a conservative by all means, who's gone from being a moderate dude to extremely conservative and kind of crazy and off the rails to coming back around. He is a conservative and a Christian, but his approach to all of this, though, because of Mr. Trump's activities, has changed on his radio show considerably. And it's hard to figure out exactly where he stands. But he did say yesterday that past Sunday's tweet-a-thon about I'm, like, really smart from the president of the U.S. of A. is really, kind of teetering into frightening ground here. And how much of this can we take until the line is crossed and something has to be done? So everybody has an opinion, just like they have a but it's just becoming, it isn't even fun to laugh at anymore. It's just not any fun. So watch Netflix.
Or do this thing that Elizabeth does. She says, I know it's an emotional topic, but I've been listening to the Sirius Radio Tom Petty radio
since
we lost him. I never knew about Mr. Petty's Labor of Love, his buried treasure show.
Yeah, it's really great.
It's a transporting experience listening to Tom talk about his inspirations and listen to music that shaped his creative palette. I also get a kick out of Mr. Petty's chameleon nature doing the advertisements for Tom Petty Radio. Sirius is also featuring recorded calls from fans who talk about what Tom Petty meant to them and how much they miss him. And I cry. He touched so many generations of people, and the fact that he was a fan's musician is a theme that permeates in all the reminiscences. He always celebrated the people in the nosebleed seats, and he fought to keep album and ticket prices down. Miss him. Thanks, as always, says Elizabeth.
Very nice. Yes, I have had that on, too, some. It's a little bit, I don't want to say creepy, because it's not creepy. But he, on the show that he hosts, is talking on there, and he has guests, and he's being silly. Back over on Beale Street, we worked there for a long time. And one holiday season, and you may recall this if you heard me and Zeke back in those days, he cut some stuff for me, this Christmas stuff. Remember that?
Yeah.
And it was it was really, really funny and really, really silly. And he kept that kind of, you know, thing up on the Sirius show. But he did play some great music that he was inspired by. And that show is on. And you also, with him, you just forget about how much music he made that weren't the hits. And how many great, great songs there were. And you can hear them on that show. It's just great. And there are moments that you go, you know, he's not here anymore. And a number of people that are out of the business, just, you know, fans of music, are still really affected by this guy's death. It's always sad when somebody dies. It's awful when Chris Cornell, you know, hangs himself and so on and so on. Something about the Petty death was just different. He was one of us, and the words he wrote were just, you know, from the heart, from the mind, and it was like us, you know, talking to each other. He felt what we all feel, but he had the gift of being able to put it on paper and sing about it and have one of the best bands in rock and roll history. He was just a normal dude. I will encourage you again, if you want to know more, Warren Zane's book, which is just, I guess, called Petty, is extremely good and covers the entire career from the time that these guys left Gainesville. Now, this is an era in the mid-70s when these guys are, you know, in a bus and they drive across the country to Los Angeles, where everybody goes to be a star. But back in that time, they would, you know, pull up to Capitol Records and just walk in there with a tape and say, hey, my name is Tom Petty. Here's our tape. Listen to it. And they would. That would no more happen in this day and time. So that's how they eventually got signed up. And that's where it all began. But the book will carry you through the entirety of his career, which when you look at it, is incredibly unique. And somehow the life he lived was so complete that when he died, it hurts. It'll always hurt. But hardly anybody I can think of in this business had the chance to have their own band, had that great success, kind of wander off and do something by himself, which was Full Moon Fever, which spawned Free Fallin' and all those hits, Wildflowers, then to be the backup band for one of his heroes for about 2 years, I guess, Bob Dylan. They were his you know, band. After that, you get people like Dylan and George Harrison that, you know, called him, and they form a band. And the Wilburys had their little run of two albums. Who the heck gets a chance to do something like that? Then he and his band get back together again, and they're better than ever. And so they, you know, do this stuff. They have their big 30-year tour, a 40-year tour, and then he goes home and 6 days after that goes to sleep and doesn't wake up. I think he was just tired. But what he accomplished,
yeah,
is remarkable when you look at it in that little box there. The first hit was, what, 77? 2017 was last year, 40 years, and he crammed a lot of life and music into that 40 years, and that shouldn't be forgotten. And that I think is why he is so special to so many people, because he wrote the words that, you know, many of us he was just, you know, writing and speaking to you know, all of us. And his impact will not ever be forgotten, I don't think.
Anything else you want to share with us, feel free to do that. mail@drakeinthemorning.com is our email address, receiving all the time.
You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
Hello, it is Tuesday, and it's overcast, and it's 43, 44. It's foggy in some places. Today's high near 50. Tomorrow, warmer, about mid-50s. And on Thursday, mid-60s. And then, because, life is hard and cruel, It'll be a high of 33 or 4 on Friday. If my math is right, a 30-degree temperature change and rain and snow. The snow part comes overnight Friday night. So it may or may not be anything, who knows. But then it'll be cold as heck on Saturday and Sunday, too. That's all we need to all stay sick is to have a 30-degree temperature thing. Unbelievable.
You can almost hear Mother Nature just laughing at us.
Oh, my God. It's just nuts. Dumbasses of the day in advance of our buddy Kyle Veazey. It's so cold, there really aren't any dumbasses. They're just these a-holes that keep using blow torches to unfreeze pipes. Not a good idea. Not now. Not ever. I've heard more stories around here of broken pipes. My gosh, what a hassle for people. So good luck. We're sorry for your problems. In New Mexico, we'll go to this dude from Albuquerque. Police recently arrested this fellow, Kyton Blair, for attacking a man. He attacked a guy because he was dressed as a penguin, and it just pissed Kyton off. And I'm kind of with him. The penguin was promoting an insurance company on a street corner. Have you ever been influenced enough by some dill hole in a costume on a street corner to stop and go inside the business and say, "Yo, what's up? Nice penguin outfit."
What? I'll take two.
So he smacked this guy from behind. He just slapped him. Then it got serious when he threatened the penguin with a machete. Now we're having fun. But everything came to a halt when police showed up. Damn it. But that penguin could have been beheaded, the penguin head and the guy's head. But the police had to show up and kill all the fun.
Oh, this one from a suburb of Cleveland called Rocky River, where the postmen there are having a trouble, the mail carriers. Their unofficial motto, neither snow nor rain nor gloom of night, stays these couriers from their swift completion of their appointed rounds, doesn't account for aggressive wild turkeys, which is what the problem is in Rocky River up there.
I saw this dumb story.
For about 3 weeks now, these turkeys have created what they're called unsafe conditions for carriers to deliver to their homes. So everyone who lives around there has to go down to the post office to pick up their mail. And part of the problem is city ordinances don't allow for the turkeys to be eradicated. So the postal carriers can't put their sidearm on and just shoot these turkeys and go about their job.
Well,
so the city instead has asked people to stop putting out bird feed, hoping the turkeys will move along.
Well, that might be the first good thing to do. But, yeah, to discharge your weapon to kill a turkey in someone's front yard probably isn't the best move to be made by the police.
What if you let them have it?
Juan Mendoza is my friend here's name. He learned the hard way that an ATV is not a good way to escape from the police. This was in Madera, California, and the police were pursuing this moron in a patrol car. Mendoza's run from the law came to a halt when he tried to elude the police by riding through a field. It was bumpy, full of holes, and it flipped over, of course. He wasn't injured, except for his ego that was bruised, it says here. When the police posted dash cam video online, the police in this small town added a nice touch by dubbing in the theme "Bad Boys" from Cops. They got this little clown back. Stories of people, you know, again, blow torches on pipes. It's not a good idea. Don't do it. There are other ways to go about this. I don't know what they are, but use your hairdryer. I don't know. Fantasy football used to be a big thing for me and my friends, but you kind of grow out of it and let the kids have it, and it's a big thing. Still, this thing was, we were into this 30 years ago, and it was simple, it was fun. Now it's turned into a gigantic, it's just a, you know, business. They've got, I mean, everybody has their own website for it, and everybody has a team, and it seems to have lost kind of its fun, but these kids take it seriously. At the end of every year, there's a team, a winner, who collects the payout. That also means there are losers. And this fellow named Justin Poliachik lost more than money. Last Thursday night, he paid the price for being the Cleveland Browns of his fantasy league by going, well, 0-16. He had to pay the penalty by settling into a booth at the Waffle House with a sign on his table that said, "I lost fantasy football, so I must stay 24 hours in this Waffle House, minus 20 minutes for each waffle I consume." This was agreed on before the season because you know how the kids are. They get some, you know, light beer in them and they go crazy. So Dickless here was sitting there. He ate 7 waffles and was allowed to leave early, but he's still a moron for ever agreeing to this. Don't be a dummy when it comes to shaving. HarrysRazors.com is their website. This morning, I put on a new blade, and this thing is extremely smooth, and it is a clean shave, and it won't cut you to pieces, and it's just a whole new way to shave your face and save some money with this great kit, which they want you to try out free of charge. All you do is pay the shipping. It's a great little package with the handle that's ergonomic. It fits in your hand comfortably. The 5 blades on top, engineered for a great precision shave with the trimmer blade on top. The shave gel smells good. It's all good and foamy. And the travel blade cover. So they want you to try it for nothing. You just give them a shout and you pay for the shipping and it's yours. Go to the site, harrys.com. Drake is what you put in when you enter the code, D-R-A-K-E, and it comes to your house. They'll even throw in the post-shave balm, which is free. Harrys.com. Use Drake as the code, and you'll enjoy it, I'm pretty darn sure. We'll do a break, and we'll come back and talk to our friend Kyle Veazey from the mayor's office. Jim will be here himself next Tuesday. For the time being, we will sit and talk to Kyle about what's going on, and we'll do that after this short break.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.